Today's daf in Masechet Chulin brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Yud Beis. We got up to the two dots, and we're at Omar Rabbi Nachman Omar Rav. So exploring still the inyanim of what rights we have to make assumptions, the inyanim of Rov, Chazaka, and of course the various dinim of Shechita per se. Omar Rabbi Nachman Omar Rav, Ra'a Echad Shishachat, אם ראו מתחילה ויד סוף, מותר לאכול משחיטתו, ואם לאו אסור לאכול משחיטתו. It's a very strange statement. You see somebody shechting, if you watch them from beginning to end, then it's a kosher shechita. If not, you're not allowed to eat the shechita. So now, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a shechet? I mean, I thought we, didn't we say before that we can trust people that are shechting? How does this tie into what we said before? So, Echidami, tell me what the case is. I mean, if we know that this guy is a Sherched who passed his Bechinas and he's got definitely a Chazaka that he knows, or Cheshchita, what's the problem? Either Yada de Gomer, why do we need to see him? Then we just said yesterday the whole idea also of Eid Echad Neman, and before we said that once we know that he's a Mumcha, that there's no problem. And if we know for a fact that he wasn't learn it. Lo gomer. He never learned to cheshchita. So obviously, how can you eat from cheshchita? I mean, he probably ruined something without even knowing, trying his best, but he doesn't know the dinim. And they're a complex dinim. So it must be talking about that we simply don't know. Lo yada igomer, lo gomer. But again, what happened to our rov? Didn't we say that we have a rov mitzvah neitz cheshchita mumchineh? After all, this is practical halacha. I mean, take a look at this brisa. Milo Tanya, Hare Shematzat Tanagolet Shechuta B'Shuk. Somebody finds a shechted chicken that somebody dropped, you know, right there in the market or on the street. Or for that matter, you're told a shliach, could you go shecht my chicken? So, Tzeir Shchot, and then you find the chicken shechted. And you don't really know who shechted the chicken. I mean, in either case, even if you told a shliach, you didn't know who shechted it. And nonetheless, we say, cheskato shechut. Bottom line is, you're allowed to eat that chicken. So, alma amina rov mitzvah etz shechita mumchineh. So, apparently, we certainly, according to this bright, are allowed to be semech on the fact that if somebody shechted, they probably knew what they're doing. So why would that be true here? In Rav's case, achanani. Lema rov mitzuya neitzer shechita mumchinein. Why does Rav say you have to see the whole thing from beginning to end? Well, let's go back to what we thought before. Maybe the case is that you know for a fact that he wasn't a knowledgeable. So he never learned to cheshchita. However, this guy's been shechting, maybe. And I saw him shech the first simen properly. So now, that means that he is, I missed the last piece, was the last tenth of a second. I didn't see him shech the second siman. So kagon de shochet kamon chat siman shapir. So ma'ade teme b'nai shapir ay nami shapir. So I would have thought, you know, look, I mean, he's obviously doing things right. What's the likelihood that he messed it up in that last tenth of a second before he got to the next siman? Kam ashmalan, doesn't matter. Because, look, things can always just happen to be good. Hayis rumi is from Eilat. It turned out, just by accident, randomly, he did a good job. But that doesn't mean that he's going to particularly continue in this particular process because he doesn't not even aware of what the process is. So certainly the fact that someone does, hey, look, he really looks like he knows what he's doing. I mean, yeah, he looks like he knows what he's doing because sometimes randomly people look like they know what they're doing. But either Shema Shaha, Shema Doras. Maybe, in fact, he did a Shehiyah. Maybe he did a Drisa, and I don't know, he wouldn't have known. And therefore, you still wouldn't be able to eat it, so there's still a Chiddush in Rav. Now, that question about Rav Mitzvah Netzer Shechita, you have a right to assume that they're Mumchin, came up again here. Bar Minei Rav Dimi Bar Yosef Mi Rav Nachum. You say to a Shliach, go and shecht. And now you go and you find that your animal was shechted. So you never heard that it was shechted properly. So now, do you have a right to assume that it was your shliach? That's what we think it means anyway. That it was your shliach who shechted, and therefore it's kosher? Or do we have to be afraid some crazy guy came along, you know, practicing shchita, and he didn't know what he was doing, and maybe it isn't shechted properly? That's what we think the question is. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Dimi, Cheskoso shochot. You have a right to eat it. And let me ask you something else, said Rav Dimi. How about if you tell a shliach, go and take off truma for me? V'holachu matzah tarum, you want, and you see that the truma was set aside in the area for truma. Can you assume that it was done properly? My. No, no good, he said, Rav Nachman. Amalei in cheskato tarum. So Rav Dimi said, I don't get it. I mean, Mamanevshav. If we're assuming, as I thought you meant when you told me that you could eat the shchita, that's because Chazak HaShliach HaSeh Shlichuto. So if you're going to assume that a shliach, this is another Gavira, Chazak HaShliach HaSeh Shlichuto, which I think has been down for a long time, but just in case. So then if you're telling me that a shliach can be assumed to have done a shlichut, and there's a chazaka that he normally will do so, so then why can't we rely on that for truma? And he ain't chazaka shliach oseh shlichuto, so then how are we relying it for the shchita? So afilo shchita nami lo. And Rav Nachman explained to Rav Dimi, well, if you can't figure this out, you're going to have to pay. L'chitecha l'alakur de milcha. After you measure a whole kur of salt, and this is what you got to pay me for telling you the answer, I'll tell you the answer. So that's what we say when things are pretty obvious and you should have figured it out, you know. But okay, I'll do it for you, but you're going to have to pay because, I mean, you're just obviously saving yourself some thinking trouble, you know. That's nothing to do with that question. Let's say, normally I wouldn't say a shliach would do the shchita, but who cares? Even if somebody else did the shchita, it's perfectly kosher because of our chazaka. So inami dima inishachrina shoma v'yazav shachat. When it comes to shchita, we have our rov mitzuy and etzor shchita ar mumchin. So who cares who shechted it? I don't have to know. Mashenkin, when it comes to truma, if somebody else went and took the truma and not the shliach, it's not a kosher truma. Because over there, you need to do it yourself, except that we have that extra gam, kein tarimu gam atem. And from the gam, we say you and your shliach. But that means that the shliach has to be your officially commissioned shliach, and he has to be done with your das. And that means he's no different than you. But you can't just have a person at random going in, even if he knows you wanted to do the truma. It has to be a shliach because he's komoto. So in the event that somebody else heard, oh, he's looking for somebody, that guy's never going to do it, I'll do it. So then it would be a toreim shalomi da'at. Somebody who takes off truma, shalomi da'at of the balin, ain't trumato truma. So therefore this comes down basically to the same yesod of Rav Mitzuyin Eitzor Shchita. Now, is it possible that actually not everybody agrees with this? Could it be that Rav Mitzuyin Eitzor Shchita Mumchin Hein, that Yesod is actually a Machlokes Tanoim? Because take a look at this Braita, the Tanya. Aresha Avdu Lo Gidayav V'Tanegolav. The guy's lost some goats, he lost some chickens, and he finally finds them, but they've been shechted. V'Halachu Mitzaan Shechutin. So Rabbi Yehuda says, well, you're not allowed to eat that. And Rabbi Hanina ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglieta says, you are allowed to eat that. And Rabbi commented on that, well, seems to me that Rabbi Yehuda is correct that you would not be allowed to eat it if you find it in the garbage. Because, I mean, that's where people throw neveles. And it seems to me that Rabbi Hanina ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglieta, who says that you are allowed to eat it, he's talking about where you found them in the house. So if they're on your counter, you know, okay, so then apparently somebody did it, and there's no reason to be worried about it. That's what I think, says Rebbe. But let's get back to the actual machlokas between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Yossi Aglieta. So apparently, I mean, they seem to be arguing across the board. It's Rebbe who's making this difference between garbage barrels and counters. But apparently, Rabbi Yehuda himself and Rabbi Yossi Aglieta himself They're arguing about the overall question about whether the shechita is kosher. So in other words, Reb Chanina, Berei the Reb Yossi, Aglili, he apparently holds that if you found them shechted, Amrinan Rov Mitzin Eitzer Shechita Mumchine, there's no problem, and therefore you can eat them no matter what. And Reb Yehuda apparently holds that Lo Amrinan Rov Mitzin Eitzer Shechita Mumchine. So here we've got ourselves this basic machlokes tanoim about whether that rove is actually reliable or not. No. Omer ibn Achmar Yitzchak, I disagree. I think, actually, everybody might agree that rove mitzvin etzer shkita mumche. And therefore, if you actually found this meat in your kitchen, on the counter, everybody would agree that you're allowed to eat it because rove mitzvin etzer shkita mumche. And furthermore, nobody's going to argue that if you found these animals dumped in a public garbage disposal, so obviously they're not kosher. I mean, why would a guy dump them unless they were an avela? So of course they're not kosher. So there's a very limited area in which Reb Yehuda and Reb Chanina are being chaylek, and they're simply questioning the standards of people. If we're talking about a case where you found in the garbage pail in your kitchen, you found your shechted meat. So that's the question. So Rabbi Yehuda held, what's it doing in the garbage? Must be that it's an avela. So you're going to tell me, I mean, what idiot is going to throw an avela that's going to stink up his house, going to put it in his kitchen? I mean, he would take it outside and he would put it in a public garbage dump, no? Well, so therefore, it would be okay. Mashenkein, we have. So this would be the shita of Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Chanina would hold that, look, if you're going to have an avela, you throw it into the outside garbage. Mashenkein, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mar Saba. Look, I mean, to go outside right this minute and take it outside, I'll put it in for a little while into my personal garbage in the kitchen. And the Rabbi Chanina holds that nobody would do that. If you got an avela, you know, you get dressed and you take it out of the house and throw it out. You don't want an avela in the house. So that's just the question. And the issue is a matter of hygiene, the way people normally act. But we're not actually arguing about the reality of whether the shechita per se is normally kosher. So, is that possible? You're ignoring what Rebbe said. Take a look at the end of here. Oh, Mama, didn't you say that Rebbe commented on these two shechitas, and he said, I would go along with Rebbe Yehuda when it was found in a garbage. Now, what kind of garbage do you think Rebbe is referring to? I mean, if he's referring to the public garbage dump, so didn't you say that everybody agrees that if it's in the public, what do you mean? I agree with Rebbe Yehuda. You said a minute ago that everybody agrees. If you found it in the garbage, in the public garbage, obviously it's in a vela. Why would anybody throw kosher meat into a public garbage dump that was just shechted? El apshita. So when Rebbe says, I paskin like Rebbe Yehuda, it's because he's saying that even in the garbage in the house, the din would be that it would not be kosher, and it's assumed to be an avela, right? I mean, that's the only thing that seems to make sense. Now, Ema Seifa, take a look at the next words. But I agree with Rebbe Chanina ben Osher ben Yosi Aglili, where you found them in the house. So what does that mean, where you found them in the house? On the counter? In the kitchen? My bayit. Ilay ma bayit mamash? Didn't you just say that everybody agrees that they're kosher? Ha'amet tekulei amalo pligi deshari. But that would mean that what Rebbe was referring to, when you found them in the house, meaning in the household garbage. But you just said a minute ago that that's when he yields like Rebbe Yehuda, and it's not kosher. I'm so confused. Kasha the Rebbe, ya the Rebbe. I don't understand. First you say that if you find it in the garbage, that it's usher, because I think Reb Yehuda is right. And that was the only case that made sense. And then you say, if you find it in the house, which has to mean in the garbage in the house, Reb Chanina is right. But that's what you said a minute ago, that it's Reb Yehuda is right, and it is usher. So if this is the way you're explaining the Braita, the whole thing breaks down. Kasha de Rebbe, Yad de Rebbe. And, which is always the case when these type of statements come up, in which I hold like X in such and such and like Y in such and such circumstances, what it really means is, in cases where Rebbe uses that language, not that I hold, but nirin divrei Rebbe Yehuda, meaning everybody would hold. Nobody in his right mind would argue with Rebbe Yehuda. Even Rebbe Chanina ben Asher Rebbe Yossi would not argue. Nirin divrei Rebbe Yehuda, even to Rebbe Chanina ben Asher Rebbe Yossi Aglili, if you're talking about an ashpa in the shuk, because nobody would put kosher meat in the ashpa shebe shuk. Because even Rebbe Chanina ben Asher Rebbe Yossi Aglili was only arguing, lo nechala kalav elav ashpa shebe bayit. The whole discussion over here was only in the case where it was thrown into your kitchen's garbage. So you put in the kitchen's garbage, could very well be, you put in a new garbage bag, you know. You didn't have where to store the meat, so you put it in the garbage bag in your kitchen. I mean, is that so insane? So in that case, that was the only place where Rebbe Chanina ben Asher Rebbe Yossi Aglili says, look, you know, we still have a chazaka, it's kosher. But of course, ba'ashpa shebashuk, he would be moda. So that's all that Rebbe is saying. Anybody, nearing divrei Rebbe Yehuda, anybody in his right mind would agree with Rebbe Yehuda, not I hold like Rebbe Yehuda. And even Rebbe Chanina ben Asher Rebbe Yossi Aglili was never discussing a case like that. And furthermore, nearing divrei Rebbe Chanina to Rebbe Yehuda, in the event that they're found on the kitchen counter. Because even Rebbe Yehuda was not arguing with him, except in a case where it was found in the kitchen garbage. That's the way to understand it. And therefore, everything would be fine. So we do not have any indication that there's a fundamental machlokas tanoim as to whether we have rov mitzvin etzer shchita mumchin. That could be that everybody agrees. Now, let's just take a look at the Mishnah again. The first Mishnah. And we never really explained why in the world does it say look, the Mishnah is trying to tell me that, remember, then there's cases in which shchitatan is kishera b'diavad. But when it comes to a cheresh sheit v'katan, even b'diavad, it's not kosher unless somebody was there and was watching every last move, right? Now, that means that you're talking about the case where it was already shechted, not that they're going to shecht. So why does it say, chutz v'cheir sheita v'katan shema yikal kelu? I mean, we're talking about a case where they already shechted. So you should just say, shema kil kelu. But it doesn't say that. It says, shema yikal kelu. Well, how do you explain the strange future tense if what we're really talking about is the past? Shema kil kelu lo katani. Doesn't say they messed it up. It says maybe they will mess it up. Well, that's not the point, is it? We're talking about a case in which it was b'diavad and they already messed it up. Amar Rava, this is a remez. It's to tell you a different halacha. Don't give them anything to shecht, even if you're going to watch them, because you're just wasting things and it's baltashes. Ein mosrim lehem lechulin lechatchila. We don't want anybody to even think that it might be kosher. So don't hand it to them. So even though if they did shecht properly, it would be kosher, we don't want you to do that because they're probably going to mess it up and they're going to actually just be mashkis what you give them. So straight out, it's usher to do things that end up being a wreck. And even if you think, well, it's not a wreck, I'm doing it to be mechanech my kids, to teach them how to shecht and so on, then if that's not the point, what if somebody sees that you give it to the children to shecht? They think that that might mean that it's kosher if they shecht without having somebody that checked every last thing as they were doing it. It was aimed on them. So because of that, the Mishnah is being meramis to us. The fact that a cheresheit v'katan shechted is only if it happened, but don't hand it to them because they're undoubtedly going to make trouble. And then the last statement in the Mishnah was, in all events, kulam sheshachatu v'achirim ro'im otam shechitatan kisheirat. Now, this is a little bit problematic. Because if you need to have kavana for shechita when you're shechting, so then what good does it do for somebody to have seen everything that they did? It would still be possible because they didn't have the right kavana, since they don't have that, being a chereshet v'katan. So then, apparently, the Mishnah holds that we don't need kavana. So who is the Tana that holds delo be'inan kavana l'shchita? Because it's definitely, there is a question about that issue. Does shchita require a kavana to do the act of shchita? Or my Rava, well, this is the shita of Rabbi Nasan. Because Oshaya, Zeira de Min Chavraya, the youngest one of the yeshiva of our Chabura, he said that if somebody would take a knife in order to do target practice, so he's in a knife throwing class over here with Alon, and just as he throws that knife, in walks an animal that, I won't say what kind of animals Alon holds out over there in his house, but some of them are bigger than horses. But anyway, so in walks a goat, let's say, and the knife just goes straight through the simanim while he's doing his target practice. That is the perfect shchita. Helcha v'shachata kedarka. Rabbi Nasan says, that's a perfectly kosher shchita, and Rabbi Nasan machshir, v'chachamim poslim. So, therefore, if you hold like Rabbi Nasan, it's clear that even though there was zero intention of being mit'asek in something completely different, namely knife throwing, and it ended up shechting, you don't need anything else. And he also, he was mekabel this price, and he'd said it over, hu tanila, and he also, vu amarla, he also said what he thinks about it, namely, that halacha k'Rabbi Nasan. So apparently, he holds, Oshaya and Rabbi Nasan, both hold, that you don't need any type of kavana, you could be mitasek and other things, and it's no problem. Hey, wait a second. Doesn't the knife have to go back and forth? I thought that wasn't the meaning of zvicha that you're cutting back and forth. So how would it be kosher if you cut it like this? Because then wouldn't you have a problem that it was pressing down too fast? Because how else could it have cut? Now, the truth is that you could have answered that it was a long knife. Because we're going to see later on that if the knife is long enough, there's no issue of it's going dafka back and forth. There's only an issue of there being sufficient length of knife per the area that it has to penetrate vertically. So what's the difference whether it went back and forth? We could have said that. We could have said that you're doing very long knives, and that would be fine. But we want to get to a different issue, and that was, how about a bouncing knife? Would that also be kosher, or would there be a possible problem with that? So therefore, we answer that actually the knife hit the target, bounced back, and hit again the Beis HaShchita. So it was Holcha Uba'a Kedarka, and nonetheless, it's considered to be a kosher Shchita. Now, we did say that if you need shchita on kochim, then we saw before that you do need to have kavana because a misasek b'kochim was one of the psulim. So that means that once again, in this interrelationship between kochim and chulin for shchita, the need for the kavana is a separate halacha which has to do with shchita of a korban. So now, what would be the din? Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan wanted to know that in the event that you've got a katan, and he goes ahead and he shechts a korban, does he have a machshava or does he not have a machshava? So now the question over here is big machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, as to what exactly is meant. We'll learn the Gemara like Rashi, and then I'll explain what the problem is with Rashi's approach. So Rashi's approach is Gavi concentrating or working very hard on doing things that require machshava? No machshava. Okay. So then Rashi learns like this. Machshava means a proclamation. I am doing it for this purpose. It's not the question of an internal machshava, but rather we know that he's saying, that's how we know that there's a machshava. So the word machshava in this sugya, according to Rashi, means a statement to the fact that this is what I'm doing with the following kavana. And when we use the word ma'aseh, this the same thing is true. When we say the word ma'aseh, we mean a ma'aseh that goes along with a statement that this is why I'm doing this. And then we have another concept, which is called machshavto nikeret mitoch ma'asav, where you act out in a way that can only make sense or probably make sense because of an issue that you're thinking about, but you never said it. So let's say somebody would go, he's a child, he moves a korban from the Doraim to the Tzofain, and it's Tirchai, drags it over to the Tzofain, and he doesn't say why he's dragging it over to the Tzofain, but it's an Ayla, and an Ayla needs Shechita B'Tzofain, and he shechs it there B'Tzofain. So then that seems to be that he knows what he's doing, because why else did he do that? So that is called machshavto nikeret mitoch ma'asa. So therefore, according to Rashi, the question of Rabbi Yochanan is as follows. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan, does a katan have a recognized behalacha machshava if he says, I'm doing this for such and such a purpose? Is that called a machshava? Yesh lo machshava or ein lo machshava? Omar le Rabbi Ami. Why are you asking only a machshava? Why don't you ask tiboy lei ma'aseh? I mean, you could have had the same question where he went ahead and he moved a oila to the tzofain after saying that I want to shecht this oila, right? So he says, I'm going to bring this to the tzofain for shechita. And he does that. So I ask you, you can ask the same question about the Maisa. So if the Maisa shows that that was the purpose, and he said that's the purpose, so don't you have to wonder about what the din would be there? Why do you jump from the question of Maisa and ignore it and say, what if he just announced it? Tiboyle ma'aseh. So I'll tell you why. Says Rabbani, I know why Rabbi Yochanan didn't ask. He didn't ask because he knew the Mishnah. So Mishnah ma'aseh de lo kami boile. That's because we know from the Mishnah d'tnan yesh lehem ma'aseh. So we have the Mishnah, and we're going to talk about that Mishnah in a moment. That's the Mishnah that we had in Kalim, and it says beferesh, because there we have to worry about what the din is if a child. I'm sure you remember this Mishnah. If a child makes a toy. Scale, let's say, for instance. So he hollows out a nut, and he makes the nut the container that he hangs on his toy scale, or something like that, right? So that was the case we had in the Mishnah. In Kalim, is that, remember, everything normally is Yardley Day Tuma. So it becomes a Kli to be Mekabel Tuma with a Machshava, and certainly with a Maisa. And over here, the question is, what about if a child would do it? And is a child's machshava considered to be a something, if it's done, does it have a Maisa? So the reason, I'm telling you, the reason that he never asked about Maaseh is because the Mishnah and Kalim said that, yes, if they do something, so then it means that they're doing it for the purpose that they said they're doing it. Okay, I'm going to turn this nut into my toy coffee cup. And then they actually hollow out the nut. So then fine. It says beferish in the Mishnah that, yes, they definitely have machshava. But then if he knew that Mishnah, which he obviously did because he never asked what the din would be of Maisa, so then he should know the din of machshava also. Machshava nami loti barile. In that very same Mishnah, it says, ein lehem machshava. That even if they say what they're going to be doing, that's insufficient. Now, here's the Mishnah. Take a look for yourself. That's not. Here's the Mishnah in Kehil. Ha'alon, no, nothing personal over here alone. Ha'alon v'harimon v'ha'egots. I mean, we started the day off with the knife play. We might as well finish it off with hollowing out an alon. Not financially, though. So, ha'alon v'harimon v'ha'egots. So you've got something that can be used as a kli. So you've got a nut, or an acorn actually is an alon, and you've got a pomegranate, or you've got a nut, and some kid, chakakun tinokot, the kids hollowed them out for a game. Lamud be'am afar, and they'd be using this to dig with, or to make, let's see, kinom the kafus, and I am, they're going to make a toy scale. Fisher Price never did better. And it says, beferish in a Mishnah, it's tummy. Mipnei sheyesh lehem maaseh, they do have a maaseh, but ein lehem machshava. If he just said, we're going to do it, and normally if an adult would just say it, it would be yored lidei tumah b'machshava. But if a child says it, it's not going to be a valid machshava. So how do you explain Rabbi Yochanan if he knew the Mishnah? How did he only know the first line of the Mishnah? It's like all one sentence. Yesh lemaaseh ve'ein lehem machshava. Says Rabbi Chiya to Rabbi Ami, what's your problem? Machshava gredata lo kami boile. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't asking about the machshava just because he announced that this is what I'm thinking. He was talking about a machshava, which is nikeret mitoch maasav. So it's not that the maaseh actually does the thing that is the reason that like over here, the reason that it's a kli is because it was hollowed into a kli. But over here, let's say, for instance, and this is what Rabbi Yochanan was wondering about, you've got a korban eila, which is in the doraim of the azara. And now, this child, after he says that he wants to, in this case, he didn't say anything, and this is Rabbi Yochanan's question, if he didn't say anything, but he drags it over to the Tzafon, v'yasyua b'tzafon u'shechata, so there, it seems quite clear, hey, what's he doing? He obviously knows what he's doing. So that was not covered by the case in the Mishnah and Kalim, because over there, the kids were talking about making the toy, but over here, he didn't say anything. So now the question is a machshava that is nikar mitoch ma'asav, is that sufficient? Just as how Rashi learns, just by doing the act without saying anything. So what would be the din there? Do we say that mida atua b'tzafon v'shachat? If he dragged it over, so he obviously knows what he's doing, and therefore he was mechaven to what it was he was doing. O dilma mokom odelu isramile. I mean, look, there could be many reasons why he brought it over to the north. I mean, he didn't like that spot. That's the fact that people don't like a spot. Maybe there was another kid that was looking at him. Maybe there was a camera. Now, who knows? I have no idea why he did it. You're right. It definitely seems reasonable that that's why he did it. But can we actually assume that that's why he did it? So this is one of Tosfos' problems, because if the issue over here is the way Rashi is learning, so then it has nothing to do with whether we think Dilma Makamudalo Isra'imile. That's not the point. The point would be that even if were convinced that he knew what he was doing, it still wouldn't be enough. That was the question, whether just Nikeret Mitoch Ma'asav is sufficient. Why would the Gemara interject over here a whole new issue that it's not that there's no chashivas to the Maisa V'Katan, it's that we don't know whether this is the Maisa. So that's very strange. Okay, this is one. We'll talk about the other questions that Tosfos has in a moment. But this is one of his big questions on Rashi. Now, if this is what Rabbi Yochanan is really asking, whether the Machshavani Keret Mitoch Ma'asav, it doesn't make sense. Because Rabbi Yochanan himself has already spoken about exactly this issue, and he said that in his opinion, it's considered to be a machshava that is nogeh l'halacha. Because we just recently had the Mishnah in Machshirin. What did we learn over there? Somebody brings his perot up to the roof in order to protect them from insects. Mipnei haknima. And meanwhile, it gets wet with tal. V'yarad alayhem tal. So the halacha over there is, says the Mishnah, that it's not considered to be ki yutan ma'im al zera. And remember our big question. Ki yutan is written ki yitain. And that means that even though it's passive, ki yutan, it has to be similar to ki yitain in the fact that the person wanted it to get wet. This, the fact that he brought it up to the roof for insects, is no indication that he wanted it to get wet, and therefore, even if it does get wet with having the dew over it, which dew is one of the Shiva Mashkin, remember, the Shiva Mashkin are not defined by their chemical composition, they're defined halachically. So if it's brought up, then it's not b'chiyuta. If he had kavana and he wanted it to be wet, so then, of course, it would be kiyutan. And it doesn't matter whether l'chatchila was done to get wet or whether he just wants it wet, as we learned in Machshirin. So, if that's the case, im nitkaven l'kach, it is b'chiyutan. But what about if a cheresh shaita v'katan? What if they bring it up? There, af al pish nitkavenu l'kach, enan b'chiyutan. So if they brought it up, and they brought it up for the same purpose, for the knima, then even though they were mechaving for afterwards, they're very happy that it got wet, that's not going to change anything, because einan b'chiyutan, because they only have a maisa, ve'ein lehem machshava, that's what it said in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan made a psak based on this Mishnah, and he said, when do we say that the katan is not going to be considered to be b'chiyutan? That's only where the katan didn't go up and turn everything over to make sure that the dew gets distributed throughout the perot that are there to keep it fresh. But if he was hipech behen, then it's considered to be b'chiyutan. He didn't say anything. He just was ma'afech behen. So you see that it was obviously Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that if Machshavto is Nikeret Mitoch Ma'asav, it's definitely considered to be the equivalent of a Maiso that had a Machshava without saying anything. Can't be talking about where he said something because the mission we had before said that already. So what's he asking? Everything that we've said doesn't make sense. What does Rabbi Yochanan want to know that he doesn't already know? Oh, he caught me by a light. Of course he already knows. He wasn't asking whether he has a maisa. He was asking whether a nikeret mitoch ma'asav is a din d'oraisa or is it a din d'rabbanan. I know for sure that if machshavto nikeret mitoch ma'asav, it's definitely considered, as we see over here, to be kiyitein kiyutan dumya de kiyitein. But that might be a chumra d'rabbanan. Would it also be sufficient to be matir something that was diuraita? That was the question. That's what I was asking. If it's going to be a diuraita, then that would mean that even in the case of the oila, it would be a kosher oila. But if it's only a derabana, we can only be samich on it if it's a chumra, not if it's a kula. That's what I wanted to know. Reb Nachum bar Yitzchak says over this whole thing differently. Reb Nachum bar Yitzchak matzne hachi. Om Reb Chiya bar Ava, what Reb Yochanan asked was, this in this version, katan yesh lo ma'aseh. And the question originally was, does a katan have a ma'isa or ein lo ma'aseh? So over here, he did a ma'aseh together with his announcement that this is what he's doing. So let's say he says beferish, I am moving this oila to the tzofain because it needs shlita b'tzofain. And then he goes ahead and he moves it. So Rabbi Yochanan in this version wants to know whether does that mean that it's kosher shlita or not. Mashen came the way we learned it originally. The only question was if he doesn't do a ma'isa and he just announces his machshava, is the machshava good? Here, Rabbi Yochanan actually asks about the ma'isa. So I want to know, does he have a ma'isa to be matir this oilo or not? And in this version, Rabbi Ami said to Rabbi Chiya bar Ava, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan ask whether he has a machshava without a ma'isa? How about if he just says that I am doing a shchita? So, and it wasn't together with a ma'isa, meaning the oila was already betzofim, let's say. So just shechting it doesn't prove that he knows it's an oila. But he said, I'm shechting this oila. So I ask you in this version, why didn't Reb Yochanan ask about a machshava? And he was so sure that they don't have a machshava. Obviously, he learned the Mishnah. And the Mishnah had said in Kalim, Ein lehem machshava, Tetzan, Ein lehem machshava. So then he should have known the answer to the Maaseh. Why was he asking it about the Maaseh? Maaseh nami loti boilet, Tetzan, yesh lehem maaseh. So it's the same Gemara, but inverted, in which the original question that he raised was the one about the Maaseh. And now the question that we had on it that Reb Ami points out is, why didn't he ask about the machshava? If he knew the Mishnah, he knew it. And if not, not. And we answer, what Rabbi Yochanan wanted to know is whether we're talking about even a diraita or whether the Mishnah, which we know, the din of the Makshirin, is that a din dafka diraisa o derabonan, and that was what he wanted to know, which is the way we ended up understanding it before. And Pashid, in the end, he figured out the halacha. Yesh lehem ma'aseh afilu min deraisa, and ein lehem machshava afilu min derabanan, and machshavto nikeret mitoch ma'asav min deraita ein lo, but min derabanan yesh lo. Okay, I'm sorry for going. There was no normal place to stop. was stopping right in the middle. So I went a little bit ahead. I won't go all the way to the Mishnah, though. And at least I can claim I didn't do the next one.
Does Ruby want to discuss Rashi and Tosfos anymore?
Yes. Sorry. I forgot. I did want to... thank you for reminding me. Okay, so what we said was the way that we understood the sugya, according to Rashi, was that we understood the meaning of the words. Machshava was initially the question of machshava with a statement, and the ma'isa was also the ma'isa with a statement, is what we were talking about. And then we had the question of nikeret mitoch ma'asav, which is where it's all coming from what it was that he did, but it actually wasn't part of his statement. So now the question is, if this is the way you're reading the Gemara, so then exactly the language seems to be extremely arbitrary, Tainus Tosfos. Because look, you could just as easily have said it in the other direction. Because, I mean, when you're talking about the words Maisa or Machshava, and now you're describing that the dibur machshava, remember, Rashi is explaining a dibur without a ma'isa. And machshavta dikeret mitoch ma'asev is a ma'isa without dibur. But the pashtus of the meaning is when you say yesh le ma'asev, it means a ma'asev, even though he didn't say something. Because if you're going to tell me that actually it needs to say something together with the Misa in order for it to be the Misa, so then how do you explain the difference in the terminology? We'll use the word Yesh Le'Ma'aseh, meaning a Ma'aseh with a Machshava, but when they say Ein Lehem Machshava, it means a Machshava without the statement. So you could have used the exact opposite. You could have said, Yesh Lehem Machshava, meaning a Machshava that accompanies a Maisa, but Ein Lehem Ma'aseh would mean a Ma'aseh without an accompanying Machshava, which would mean without the statement. And then you wouldn't have had to say, well, what we really want to know is Machshavto is Nikeret Mitoch Ma'asav. And then we said that crazy thing about, well, we're not sure why we know it. We should have said at that point about the case of the Alon and the Rimon, and you didn't say what it was you were doing it for. So that would be exactly that case. So because of that, Tosis explains that the statement is meaningless. We're not interested in the accompanying statement. It's lo mala velo morit, says Tosis, at all. And the question over here is that a maisa gomor, where you actually did not make any statement, but you just went ahead and you made your toys scale with the case of the Alon and the Rimon, where over there it's obvious that the Chakika was in order to make a kli. And that is, for whatever it is, there's no other explanation of what it is that you do. And therefore, there's no need whatsoever to have any statement. That's what we mean by a maisa. Then we have a lesser maisa, like the case of bringing things up to the roof. There, even if they would say, we are bringing these things up to the roof because we want them to get wet, it still would not be b'chiyutan. The question is where Machshavto is nikeret mitoch ma'asav, where it's not a maisa gomor, because there are other explanations. So that's the case of bringing the oila to the tzofen. And the question over there is a maisa that has a possible alternative explanation considered to be a maisa? And it has nothing to do with something that the Gemara never mentioned, which was the statement. That's how Tosfos understands it, and he avoids, therefore, the complications of the language of Rashi.